Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. That gritty,
gritty jail music.
Jail music means one thing. Mike Fouché is here from the Daily Live every
Fresh
Wednesday
from
night.
From jail.
Fresh. Well, kind of jail, city council.
City council jail. It's a big jail-like building. You really can't break out.
All right, lots to talk to talk about tonight. City council meeting today brought up some big issues, not just affecting Chicago, but it's interesting. Every time there's a city council meeting, it seems to, you know, be relatable to the city of Chicago and the taxpayers, but it's always fun to sort of parse it out on a political level or a government level.
Yeah, man. This is what I do.
This is the way Rahm Emanuel and the city of Chicago is operating.
Yeah.
But first, let's talk about John Cass's column today.
It
really sparked a lot of outrage.
Right.
And also, I mean, it's just got a lot of people talking about the National Guard. He talked to a couple of former feds, one prosecutor, one U.S. Marshal, about what a plan, what it would look like if the National Guard came to Chicago to fight gang and gun violence. It really stirred up. It stirred up a lot.
He basically said, just get the National Guard, cordon off some neighborhoods, basically block off streets, make it so people can't go in and out. Just like in, what was that movie in New York? Escape from New York, you know, where you put all the prisoners inside of New York and Snake is the one who has to go get the president out. Anyway, I mean, it's kind of a post-apocalyptic idea that all the people who live inside this area basically get to be prisoners with all the mess that's going on in there, and that they would flood the zone with police officers, and everyone in there would know that if you deal drugs or shoot people or do crime, the cops are going to get you. And, you know, I don't think... I really don't know where these ideas came from, but, you know, I've spent a lot of time talking to police officers and people in these neighborhoods, and I don't think that there's anybody in these communities that have ever seriously considered this as an idea.
Well, I mean, the idea, as political as, and I mean, sort of lightning rod as it is, I mean, it's this idea of a lockdown curfew at night. I mean,
right.
That's the,
well,
the
more
concept
than that,
being
but
the,
more than that. I
you mean, know, after you, 10 o'clock yeah. until 4 o'clock in the morning, do you have
severely,
to go through an armed checkpoint to get through
it's
certain areas in Chicago.
It's limiting freedom of movement for everybody because everybody is potentially a criminal is basically the thinking. And, you know, there's so many problems with this. You know, number one is we already know what it is that works to fix crime. I mean, we know. And it's really, there's two things that we know really works. Number one is violence interruption with ceasefire.
Right.
And there's all these studies that show that as soon as money got cut for ceasefire, violence interrupters, these guys who go to people who are at risk of shooting somebody and say, hey, don't do it. That's not a good idea. It works. And as soon as we cut the money for that, shootings just start skyrocketing. The other thing that we know that works, really actually works, because people in these neighborhoods keep begging for it, are development and jobs. And, you know, you look at these communities, you drive through. Anybody, please, go drive through Lawndale. Go down Douglas Boulevard. Go check it out. You don't have to get out of your car. It's just desolate. There's nothing there. There's nothing for anybody to do. If you lived in that neighborhood, how would you feel? Would you be excited? No. And so if you're able to put investment, if you're able to put in jobs, give people something to do, give them purpose, give them direction.
Well, that's the
it works.
That's the critics of this column and these ideas will say, I mean, if you're going to spend millions to have an armed force, why not spend millions on other issues that are more about investment into the community?
Well, you know, and I think that there's really kind of two ways of looking at it. You know, there's one, which is John Cass's, you know, I'm not sure it's his, but two guys that he spent a lot of time talking to on his podcast, and their perspective, which is that
the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
Yes, yeah, great job, WGN Plus. And so there's one, which is that people are negative, and it's kind of a Hobbesian viewpoint, and life is short and brutal, and you need to just jam down the bad guys and make sure they don't get you. And then the other perspective is that there's positive ways of solving problems, which is by giving people tools and giving people opportunities. And when you give people tools and opportunities to do things, they begin to rise up everybody else with them.
Now, this is, it's interesting
which
because
is a Lockean point
I had
of
view. I had a friend who lived in Staten Island. And a couple of years ago I visited and we were at the ice cream shop right there in Staten Island. And I said, what's that? And they said, those are police towers. And what the they were having a gang issue. There were some shootings, and they had erected temporary police towers with spotlights. And
right.
And I mean, there's a response in that community to gang violence. The idea that right. we're going to have a police state while this right. is while these shootings are happening.
Right.
Other cities have done the same. I mentioned in the lead about Northern Ireland. I mean, that Ireland. That's but, a big. So I mean, yeah. it's not unprecedented the no. idea of creating something like this.
No, but I think that also the other thing about this column is that it ignores the fact that there are individuals in the communities that are actively working very hard in order to stop crime. There are demonstrations on a monthly basis by people who live in these yeah. neighborhoods, all these different neighborhoods that are having take back the night movements. There was a great piece the other day on PBS NewsHour about a woman who sits on the corner every day in order to say, there's going to be no shootings on this corner. There's going to be no crime here. She yeah. just sits there, and she has kids, and that's what she does. And she gets to know everybody in the neighborhood, and everybody knows her, and there's no crime on her corner. There's a lot of those sort of things. And I think that for us to continue to ignore these individuals who are actually trying to lift themselves up and that we are saying they don't exist, I think that there's a certain amount of ignorance.
It's going to be interesting because at a certain point or another, the federal government is going to get involved in Chicago violence. It's not an if, it's a when. How they do it is still up for debate. Mike Fouché is my guest tonight. He joins us every Wednesday from the dailyline.net. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We got to talk about the city council meeting, mostly about this idea that there's a surplus or there's money left over
yeah,
from a
man.
Tax rebate.
Just cash just jingling around
cash
in the city.
Jingling around in the city of Chicago. We'll talk yeah. about that coming up here on The Download. Stay with us. It's The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Mike Fouché from The Daily Line in studio.
Yeah, it's great to be here. It's best for this happy music.
All right, so talk about your podcast. I always feel like I always forget because we always talk about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to talk about it, and then we never do.
Yeah, so nice little intro there. Well, okay, so, you know, The Daily Line, we've got a great podcast. Lots of people have been listening to it. We do it every week. Comes out on Friday. It's called The Aldercast. You mm-hmm. can listen to it on WGN Plus, just
there
like John Cast.
Yeah.
And anywhere else that you listen to your podcasts, people love it.
There you go.
That's it.
See?
It's politics, Chicago.
Today's city council meeting, very interesting, this idea of tax rebates. So essentially a tax rebate surplus. Not enough people use the tax rebate program to get back from these big taxes that came out. So there's actually a $17 million surplus to spend? What?
Yeah, they set aside, you know, like 20 something million dollars. And everyone kind of knew it wasn't going to work because Daley did a similar program in the 90s that didn't really work. And the thing was, you had to submit all this paperwork and you'd get somewhere between $35 and like $180 back, which, you know, is not that much money. For some people, right. you know, it's worth it. But for most of Chicago, it's really not. So they ended up with a lot of cash, $17.5 million. And so there's been a lot of talk about what are we going to do with this money? And the mayor came up with a plan that had all these different things, including spending money on creating new job programs, some money on after-school programs, some money on trees, planting new trees throughout the city. And Alderman Lopez, who represents Englewood and Back of the Arts, he said, look, man, this is not it. This has got to have, forget the trees, forget all these other job programs. You got to put money into violence interruption programs. That's what it's really all about, ceasefire. And the
again,
mayor,
yeah, as we were talking
the mayor
about,
and
yeah.
Lopez just really had at it. You know, apparently the mayor reportedly talked to Lopez and dropped the F-bomb at him and stuff like that. I mean, he wasn't very
there's,
pleased.
There's the ROM we're looking for.
There's the guy.
There's the
this,
one we
right?
thought we were going to get.
And so then, you know, Lopez kept at it. And then apparently yesterday he brokered some deal, which is very strange, which is that, okay, there's no more money that's going to be spent on trees, but now the mayor is promising to seek grants, not actually spend city money on violence interrupter programs. And so
he said he liked the idea, but he wasn't going to use tax rebate money.
It's a great idea. I'm going to get somebody else to pay for it, maybe. And this really ticked off a lot of members of city council. You know, why aren't we actually spending money on this?
When the money's available.
But the mayor, actually, what's funny is that all these different programs, the mayor's already rolled out. You already rolled out a program for new body cams. You already rolled out a program for these new scattershot cameras.
Forgive my ignorance, because I know not much about budgeting. But if you're rolling out these programs and you're using money that you had set aside for something else, and did he know all along that money was going to be there? You said it already did. This idea didn't work in 1997.
Well, they started rolling it out a couple months ago. But yeah,
but I mean, I'm saying is like he knew that this would be a fund.
Everybody knew this was going to be money. And so it's kind of a nice way to get two bites with this, out of the same apple, right? So, it you know, it goes to city council. A whole bunch of people are upset about it, but it doesn't matter. They don't have enough votes. It only has about, you know, 10 people to say no. Or I think it was four people that said no in committee. And then it went to council, and there were 10 people out of the whole council that said no. And that was it.
That's it.
You know, so the mayor got what the mayor wants. I think he always knew that was going to happen. Alderman Lopez, he rolled over. He actually stood up and said, no, now I'm in favor of the mayor's plan because he's going to find us these grants.
He got his name in the newspaper. All right. So,
One
more story.
It's kind of hard to fight the mayor, though.
He's
a freshman alderman. I think he genuinely actually gave it a shot, and I think he took a look at what his options were, and he could either roll over and claim some victory, or he could get smashed up and be a total loser.
Well, it doesn't I guess bode well for the idea that the Chicago machine and the city council has reformed itself from the rubber stamp council of years gone.
No, I mean one of the things that's really this is actually something that's interesting to watch, which is that when there is opposition that forms on city council, the people who usually put together the opposition, they're pretty bad lobbyists of other aldermen. They do a terrible job of whipping votes and getting other people on board with stuff. There really isn't a whole lot of, hey, you help me on this, I'm going to help
Where's
you on
that. Where's the
coalitions?
Where's the block?
And aldermen are really pretty bad at it. Compared to if you look at how state legislators work, legislators are horse trading constantly. That really doesn't go on in city council. It's kind of stunning to see how these oppositions just kind of create and then just disappear, go into smoke right away.
All right, let me ask you I got one more story here, which is really interesting. I haven't heard a lot about this, but there's a new corporate counsel, Ed Siskel, a nephew of Gene Siskel.
Nephew of Gene.
Appointed today at the council. But, yesterday at the big press conference.
Oh, wait a minute. And another thing that came out in council today is that Ed Burke apparently served in the Army with Gene Siskel.
Oh,
this was crazy. Yeah, he told some story about being in the Army with Gene Siskel.
Wow.
During the hearing. Yeah, but anyway, that...
Ed Burke's always good for a story.
That was like the biggest news of the day.
The
like
of the
Ed
council.
Burke hanging out with a movie reviewer. I had no idea.
Well, there you go. All right. So the new Ed Siskel's a new corporate counsel. And we don't have a lot of time, so we'll get into this at a later date. But, you know, there's this idea of the Department of Justice and the consent decree and what the mayor has to do and the city has to do now that the Department of Justice has essentially, you know, put the report together about the Chicago Police Department. This council, this press conference was short on facts and seemed to take a different direction.
Yeah, so this was kind of, it was like this impromptu press conference behind the city council chambers in the cloakroom where Siskel just went back there and then a whole gang of reporters all ganged up on him and started asking him questions. And one of the questions was, are you committing to doing the consent decree with the Department of Justice, which would... set certain parameters on how the city would be
which the mayor's already said what they're going to do.
The mayor said they were going to do, and they had a press conference, and they actually signed a written agreement with the Department of Justice. And Siskel just would not say, yes, we commit to it. Yes, we commit to it.
Really?
Even though the Department of Justice is continuing to negotiating it, they're continuing to come to Chicago.
Is this just lawyering, speaking out of turn, or do you think that there's actually some sort of political change in the way the mayor's office is viewing this issue?
Well, first off, I know for sure that it's not Ed Siskel speaking for himself. You know, lawyers always work for their clients. But the other is that it's not to the mayor's advantage to have a consent decree because it ties his hands. He wants to do whatever he wants.
That's shocking. To me, that's a shocking story that we're going to have to pick up at a later date because if he doesn't go with the consent decree, he opens himself up for a lot of criticism, especially after all of this Department of Justice stuff. Mike Fouché.
Yeah, good to be here.
TheDailyLine.net. Also, the Aldercast, with the podcast that you made on Fridays.
Aldercast on iTunes, WGN+, Stitcher, all your favorites.
There you go. Mike, great to see you, bud.
Good to be here.